Hi, I'm Terry.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to Pure Tosh, where we're talking to you about current events you may have heard of, events you may not have heard of, and other random topics of interest.
We're talking pure shit for an hour, but it's quite relevant, and it'll probably make you think, and maybe you might have an opinion, which you could always email in. And if you've got certain topics you do want to talk about, email in, let us know, and we might host it on further podcasts in the future.
Cool, and we're live. How you doing, Jay? Up to episode 10.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. So you recovered from COVID now, right?
Just about. Yeah, yeah. Got it. So hunkered down with a partner for a week and a half, or it's 2 weeks now actually, because we fled to the house where we're staying. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, then she had it really, really, really bad. You know, the whole fever, kind of bed bound and everything. And then I got it on Thursday, so I managed to kind of like ward it off. But I was just in the house with her, trying to help out, you know, with like supplies and a bit of cooking and stuff. Got it on the Thursday. Thought I got rid of it on the Monday, which was the day after we recorded last week, where I was wheezing my way through the entire episode. Like, I played it back and I was like, oh my God, I did not sound right. So ordered a massive meal on the Monday. Mexican food, you know, fajitas. You got your, what else do we have? We had enchiladas, all the kind of good stuff. Take a bite into it and I can't taste a damn thing. Just nothing. It was such a piss take. Yeah, it was such a piss take. And then for the past week, I've not been able to smell or taste anything. Great for competitive drinking, by the way. If you ever lose your taste or sense of taste or smell, enter a competitive drinking contest. So you can't taste any alcohol. Yeah, you can just drink it like, I don't know,
like
water. Yeah, very literally. But then you can't comfort eat, and when you're stuck in isolation, all you got is kind of comfort eating. So that kind of sucked. Although taste and smells come back yesterday, got a negative test on the antigen, rapid fast antigen thing yesterday.
Right.
So should be good to go. Just in time for the final tonight.
Talking about drinking, I was at a wedding last night where they had this bar that did two pinters.
So what, like kind of one of those Stein like things?
Yeah.
They're so good.
I think it tasted better, the fact that it was a two-pointer.
Yeah.
I felt like I was getting a workout at the same time as well. Every time I was drinking, like,
just one. Curling pints.
Like, yeah. Now, that, like, blew my mind. It was like they do a two-pointer. It's like, this is a game-changer. Because like, it took ages at the bar. It was only a tiny bar with two people, and there was like 100 people at this wedding. Like, so it was like, yeah, it was like I had this big pint, like two pinter, and it was great. Like, yeah.
I'm guessing you've never been to a German beer hall, have you?
No.
So that's where they serve, like, you know, schnitzel and, you know, kind of all this fried food, but they always have Steins, and they've got
right.
German beer, you know, instead of calling it kind of by brand names, it's like, excuse me, like Weissbier or, that's the only one I know, it seems. There's all these different types of, like, German beers, and they all come in these massive two-pinters. It's a great load of fun, you know, if you ever get a chance to go to one. When you go abroad, I don't know if they've got one in Liverpool, but they have some in Manchester.
Right.
And they're terrific. They're really good fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the beer, like when I went to Bulgaria, the beers were pints, but they were like super strong. So they'd be like having like, you'd drink like one pint, but it would like feel like drinking like two pints from England. Like, because their beer is like 6%.
Yeah, you got a few places here that's like that. I think we were having a beer the other day that was 11%. 11%.
That's like special brew, that. Like. Yeah.
Shout out to the Black Heart in Camden. They So it's like a pub kind of hidden in an alley. It doesn't have a sign. It doesn't have anything. It just has like a, just high up, they've got this kind of black heart on a mast. Wow. And it's like a totally hidden bar. Like, I've lived in Camden before, never seen it. And then me and a friend were just walking past it. We're like, wait, are there people drinking in there? Just walk into the door and it's like, oh shit, there's like a hidden pub here. And they do all this kind of special brew and stuff that's lethal, but really tasty, but
yeah,
freaking lethal.
You know there's a secret pub in Castletown?
No.
Yeah. And I can't tell you where it is because I haven't found it yet, but apparently I've been told by loads of people there's this hidden basement thing. I think the basement flooded like in February or something, so they've been refurbing it. But it had been going for like over a year. I didn't even know about it. And I was like, how do you get to it? And it was like, oh, you've got to go. Like, and there's like no address to it. You just sort of just need to go with someone that knows it. Like, and I'm not good with directions anyway, so I can't actually describe where it is.
Wow. But, that's something that Castletown needed, to be honest.
Yeah.
Castletown's a place.
It's like in the basement. Like, but actually, apparently you can hear the live music sometimes on a Friday night.
Right, I gotcha.
Follow the music. But even on their like Facebook page, doesn't have the address or anything. Like,
I wonder,
it's a secret.
I wonder if they're even licensed. Like, they might be doing it as a whole licensing thing.
No, I think they're definitely licensed, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's just, I think, to be honest, it was a good way of getting people talking about it.
Yeah, that is true.
The way they did it, it was making people advertise it because people were like, do you know about the secret pub? It's like, no, where is it? And it's like, well, that's just it. Like, it's in Castletown, but I can't tell you where. Like, it's like, and then you're like looking it up, and then it's like, didn't even have the address. Like, so
that's fun. That's one for when I'm next back on the island to try to find that one.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing as well. Like, I should have gone to it. Like, but I was gonna go with a mate, but then I didn't. And yeah, I don't really drink that much anymore. But yeah, I don't know if it's open now. But like I said, I think it was getting refurbed. But hopefully, it should be good for when you come back. Like,
yeah, I might be coming back actually sooner I expected.
So right,
my mom's having a birthday in mid-July. Mid-August, Sunday morning, right there. But around the 18th or the 20th of August, that's when I'll be coming back.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That'll be quite nice.
Will you be double vaxxed by then?
I plan on being, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to...
No isolation then.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to make sure that I wait 28 days after having, you know, caught it after the symptoms first developed to get it, but I think I can time it so I get the second one right at the end of July, and then that's within the 12-week window.
Yeah.
12-week? Yeah, 12-week window, because you're supposed to get it, I think, between 4 and 12 weeks after your first one. And
yeah.
I got my first one the end of April, so if I get the end of July, it's just within for it to count as like an overlapping vaccine.
Right. Wow.
So
have you seen that guy on TikTok that's been doing his bloods, like
his blood
from? Yeah, so he obviously works in a lab, and he's been doing it from before he got vaccinated up until he got vaccinated, and the blood like turns, there's like a chemical that turns blue to show that it's got antibodies in it,
right?
Like, and the stronger the blue, the more antibodies it is.
Okay.
And he'd done like, you know, so he had like basically this like chart graph, and you can see actually after the second vaccine, 6 weeks later, it actually, the antibodies got stronger, if you know what I mean?
Okay, so like it was a deeper blue colour then?
Yeah, yeah. So like the first vaccine was like slightly blue. And then the second vaccine was, but after the second vaccine, it got stronger. So it's quite good proof that it's working, but it just needs time to work. So, like, seeing that, it makes sense on why, you know, the Isle of Man says they need to be, you know, double vaccinated and have so many weeks after the second vaccine and you don't have to isolate. Right.
Okay, I didn't actually understand that because I thought it would start taking effect like immediately after. So I didn't know it was like 6 weeks for it to reach the peak.
So I think that the antibodies are there. I think it's the concentration of antibodies starts to get higher, like as you have the second dose and as you go away through. How long will that last? But this guy's doing like videos every month, so he's sort of like seeing if he's still got, you know, how long the antibodies will last in his body, sort of thing.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah. Which is why the whole vaccine thing is still classed as an experiment to 2023, which people don't realise. Like, people think it's like this like mad experimental drug that's going to kill everyone, but they're actually, the whole reason it's still classed as experimental is because they're still doing this data. Like, he's probably actually one of the ones that's still going through. And like I said, because you just don't know how long these antibodies are going to last.
Yeah. Whether we'll need a third one, for example, or...
Yeah, like a booster halfway through. Or we could probably end up having like boosters every 6 months.
Yeah.
For a while until something stronger comes out. Or maybe it will last a whole year and you just need a yearly one. Like with the flu.
Do you take flu jabs? I don't think I do. I haven't done a flu jab in a long time.
Beth does.
Right.
With a job. Yeah. I don't. I haven't actually got flu in years. Like, even before COVID, I hadn't had flu in years. Like.
Yeah, I didn't really get it too much either. We got a common cold a lot, but not the flu.
Yeah, the last time I think I had flu, I was 15, I think.
Wow, okay.
Right. Actual proper flu, as in knocked me down for 2 days, flu. Like, yeah. Mind you, what is cold? Is cold just like a flu as well?
Yeah, it's the same kind of...
The mild version, isn't it?
Yeah, a viral infection.
Yeah. Because you think about it, there's... The variants of flus that go around is like in its hundreds, right?
I think even more than that. Because so the common cold is classed as a coronavirus.
Yeah.
So that's actually what it is. It's a relative of, obviously, the COVID-19, but...
Yeah. You know,
different ways that it attacks the body.
Yeah. But it's all, yeah, like I said, it's, we'll soon find more information after this year and stuff.
Yeah. Or it's going to be a really interesting summer, what with everything opening up. Because things are still going ahead with that. And in light of that, I'm actually almost glad that I caught it before things opened up.
Yeah.
Things will open up, so...
But have you noticed how bad inflation is at the moment?
What's inflation at the moment? Because it's normally hovering around 3%, isn't it?
In the Isle of Man, this month was, they said it was 4.7.
For the year or just for the month?
For the month.
No. So you're saying that in a year, because 4% times 12, that's 50%. So you're saying the prices of everything are going up by 50% this year.
So they reckon. So when I was reading it in the Manx paper, basically they put it down to the airlines starting up that's pushed inflation up higher because they're around 56% higher from what they were before, well, when they were allowed to run normally, which is understandable because we're regional and they've got to make the money back, haven't they? Mm. Like, you know, we're a small island. They don't have to fly to us. But yeah, and then like other stuff. So yeah, building materials have gone up massively recently. Just loads of shit. Everything's just going fucking nuts.
Right. Because the same.
They reckon fuel, like, I don't think like fuel as in petrol. I think they meant fuel as in gas and maybe kerosene had gone up 45%.
Right, yep. So I'm just seeing right now, so consumer price index, which is how they now measure rate of inflation. So it's saying that CPI stands at 3.5% for May 2021, up from 0.8% in April 2021. The three main factors contributing to the rate of inflation are transport, housing, and water. Each contributing 2.1, 0.7, 0.5% increase, the overall rate. The 45% you're talking about is oils and other fuels. That's 45.2%. That's a lot. That is a lot.
Oh, so are you reading that one for England or is that for the Isle of Man?
This is for the Isle of Man.
Wow. Yeah, I know. But, yeah.
So what we're looking at is we're looking at the 12 month rate. So it's 3.5% for May 2021, but this is looking back until May 2020.
So it's from the year difference.
Yep. So, because it was saying, but it's still an interesting increase because it was saying from the year April 2020 to April 2021, inflation was 0.8%, but then May 2020 to May 2021, 3.5%. So that's a huge, huge, huge spike just caused by, you know, subtracting April 2020 and adding May 2021.
Right.
So
I've always wondered how it worked out. So this one's been the highest, but saying that, the house I'm in's gone up in value like 40 grand and it's only like a year old.
well the house market's exploding. So just out of curiosity, the family got the Sands and Country Retreat valued and it quadrupled in value.
Not surprised. You know what? If your mum put that up for sale as well, like, I guarantee you it'd be sold in a month.
Yeah.
One of my clients put their house up for sale the other week. It was sold in a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't have a long, like, having it on the market for 6 months and trying to take a low offer. Asking price accepted, boom.
Wow. Like,
they're not even knocking the prices down now.
Well, it was for a price that I just said to her, look, you know, you don't want to sell any property for less than the amount of cash it can bring in.
Right.
So if you can get that pot of cash from selling the property, you've got to make sure that when you then invest that cash, the return on investment you get each year is greater than the income that the retreat will get you, kind of thing. And at the current price, she'd be doubling her income just from the cash pot.
Right.
And this is like for doing no work. You just stick the cash in an index fund and then just receive that return on investment.
Right.
So nice. I told her to list it because it's a killer price for sure.
Right.
But I think she's going ahead with reversing her surgery first, and then she'll take inventory and see what's next.
Yeah. But I don't think it will last, so if you're going to do it...
Do it now. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. I give it... I think next year... I don't think it will drop massively like it did. I don't think it will drop as much as what it's been rising. But I think... Yeah, I think the average house price has shot up by, like I said, 40 grand roughly. I mean, obviously yours is much more, well, I mean, it's a bigger building, isn't it? But like the average house has gone up 40 grand. I reckon maybe it'll go down 20 grand, but it'll never go down 40 grand anymore, I don't think. Like, I think that'll be the new price when it'll go up and then come down by about 20 grand and that'll be the new price. Because building materials are just too high at the moment. Mm. Like, and they're looking to be too high for a while, which is gonna, like I said, yeah, I'm still waiting for these MHKs to come around and knock on my door, like,
and ask you what.
I just want them to tell me their manifesto, because they're all jumping on this. They want to build this whole affordable housing thing, like, and I just want to break them and make them cry and make them walk away.
I don't think affordable housing is too much of an issue. I think it's just that, you know, going forwards, if you want to build affordable housing, the whole philosophy of, you know, a couple getting an entire house themselves. I think that, you know, if you're truly going to make housing affordable, that's a thing of the past. You know, people are going to have to get used to communal living. That's how you make it truly affordable.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I don't understand what classes as affordable housing when all the houses that are getting built are getting sold. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like affordable.
Someone is clearly affording them. If they weren't affordable houses, people wouldn't be able to buy them. Like,
no, absolutely. But then it's the question of, you know, is it like a foreign overseas investor that's snapping up property at the expense of, you know, people who are just working a regular hourly job with a regular hourly wage who can't afford to buy their own house and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because, like, there's a lot of rumours, and there is, so there's a family that have bought two houses on the estate, and they were living in both, but now just living in one, which is weird, that I found out the other day. It's quite handy mowing their neighbour's lawn, and you find out all this goss, especially when they don't work and they're retired, because obviously she bought her own house. The neighbours across the road from me bought their own house. The neighbours next to me bought their own house. My mate's brother got a house, but mummy and daddy bought it for him. And mummy and daddy also bought three other houses in their state as well.
Wow.
But they're Manx, so... Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good old bank of mum and dad. Although I can't really say that at the moment, even though I'm not getting any return on investment for that property, I'll probably one day benefit from it. So I asked the mate
because I said, did your brother buy a house? Because like there's like loads of rumours that apparently like 80% of these houses on this estate are being bought by landlords and getting rented out. Like, and she was like, well, technically it's his. But mum and dad bought it for him and it's in a trust. He can't sell it. I was like, all right, okay. Yeah.
I think that's a challenge though, isn't it? It's that new builds are not being bought by, you know, people like yourself and Beth who are buying it to live in it. It's being bought as an investment vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
At the expense of people who are looking to become first-time owners.
Yeah, but I think of a way of, like I said, I think the way of stopping landlords buying the houses is obviously, yeah, getting the education in and getting people's wages higher, but also actually more social housing, like, I think is needed. Like,
what do you mean by social housing?
As in, like, the council-owned ones, like, well, we have commissioners. Right. But like commissioners' houses, more commissioners' houses, and having them, because I mean, I grew up in a council house, but there's also problems in that as well. You know, the fact that like we could hardly afford like a decent TV, and the neighbour up the road could afford a camper van, a Audi TT, and a BMW, like. But we're still living in a very cheap council house. So I think, like, if it was personally down to me, I would want to see more... To fight the problem with landlords and rent, I'd want to have the commissioners, the local commissioners, build more social housing, but then do the rent based on income.
Right.
Because in a council house, you can earn, well, as a pair, you can earn up to 65 grand a year.
I remember you saying, yeah.
That's the living one. And I think that's just way too much to live in a council house where you're only paying like £500 a month rent when, you know, that house on the private market is 1200. And there's people that are living in the private houses that are on 1200 that probably don't even earn more than 22k a year, you know. So I think then the rent should be based on that and literally price them out. Like, if they're earning 65k a year, make it so it's higher than what it would be private. Make them then if either buy a house or go to private, and then that extra money then will supplement the ones that aren't earning as much, so they have a cheaper rent and then a little bit better living quality on the wage that they're on. Like, that would be the best solution.
Yeah, like, I fully agree. I just hope that there's enough folks who are interested to make that a reality, because it's one way you see the people who are benefiting from it, they're going to aggressively vote against that. There need to be enough people to vote for it, you know?
Yeah, and that's another thing as well, is with these MHKs, is they're all focused on making stupid short-term plans. And I don't really think you'd see the full benefit of that for at least 10 years.
Yeah. Like,
there's just not enough houses built on the island already. They're just not enough. And, you know, to do that, literally, to see the effect on the private housing market rent and house prices, yeah, you wouldn't see it for 10 years, right? But that would be the right way of doing it, 100%. But like I said, because you don't see the results, you know, if I went for MHK, I could be in there for 8 years and they'd be like, what have you done? And I'd be like, there's nothing to show for it just yet. And then in 2 years, then it would be like, then it would start to show. But then I'd be gone. Someone else would probably, some other fucker will probably take the fucking, like, thing for it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, politics is such a strange game. I mean,
it is. Sometimes I think it's like, it's gotten, like, I think that's the problem as well. It's gotten to the point where it's too short term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way too short term. And I think that's why, you know, over time, it's like, you know, people have said, oh, well, it was the last generation that have caused all these problems and stuff. Because I think they've just gone through short-term solutions. And then it's like someone else's problem in 10 years' time when it all fails.
Like, yeah.
You know, like with the NHS, when they struggled with nurses and stuff like that, like during the recession, they cut all these jobs. They cut all these training of, like, to train these nurses up and these jobs available, but completely forgot about the whole, you know, people retire sort of thing, and didn't count into that in a few years. They didn't count into it in a few years. There'd be a shortage until there was too late, especially over here, and then it was too late. And then now they're like pumping out, they're trying to have, like, they've gone from training over here 10 nurses to training like 16 nurses, when they should have been doing at least 14 nurses every year for like the last 5 years. They just bring it on themselves, but they don't see that far into the future. It was easier to cut then to save money, and no one thought about what was going to happen after that 4 years or 8 years. Didn't need to, like.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people are now turning towards, like, their own businesses or private ventures. They're like, well, we've got to take change into our own hands, and we can't wait for a government to do it because they're too busy chasing votes and short-term benefits. So if you want to make long-term change, you've got to build your own company. Yeah.
But that's how sometimes I think some people should think anyway. Some people need to think less on bagging their hopes on government doing stuff. I mean, some stuff we can't change, and like with the social housing thing, I think that is something that the government should work on. But then the government also dabble in stuff that they shouldn't dabble in, like, and, you know, we should just let things be more private. I think a small government is better than a big government, like in a sense of power and stuff.
Absolutely. Like, you know, you can actually see change happen on the Isle of Man by campaigning and lobbying, whereas in the UK, good luck, unless you're campaigning with a nice fat paycheck, usually from a corporate sponsor, you're not going to be changing much in government because there are just too many interested parties.
But the government's still rife over here. You heard the whole thing with the meat plant.
The what plant, sorry?
The meat plant over here.
The meat plant?
Yeah. You know the slaughterhouse arboretum? Right. They call it the meat plant, don't they? Manx meats, whatever it is. Well, so that's government owned. Right.
Okay.
And they were told that it'd be better. They were advised it would be better in as a private company in private hands. And instead it became a private company but owned by the government, which government sort of does like to do. They like to own, they like to have a company that's not government but owned by government, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Bizarre. I mean, it sort of does work in fair. Like the steam packet is government, but it's not government. It's a private company. Right. Same with the post office. Basically, the workers just don't get the same perks as being a government worker because they're technically not, like, if that makes sense. So DEFA owned the meat plant. And basically how they've done this, it's all a bit sly, but basically £2 million a year of our taxpayers' money go on keeping that meat plant going. In subsidies. And basically what they were saying was there's an investigation into it, and it's all kicked off this week because there were seven different companies that tendered for it. All of them got rejected, and apparently DEFA said they all got rejected because they didn't meet their DEFA standards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of a con, really. And they were like, okay, well, show us the documents on what these companies failed on, in the tender process. Guess what? Them documents have gone missing. They don't exist anymore. So what on earth is going on at this place? Is just
anybody's guess.
Yeah. And the fact that there's that it needs, it's very, very brown envelope-y.
Right.
You can smell, just reading the article, the actual thing, you can smell the brown envelopes through the phone. Because there is definitely something going on there. If corruption couldn't be written any clearer, apart from straight corruption, it's definitely in the meat plant. It looks dodgy as hell. Just reading the paper just doesn't make any sense. And losing documentation like that shouldn't even be allowed anymore.
That's unlikely. It's ridiculous.
But it's mad that seven companies, and these seven companies, I guarantee you, at least two of them would be experts in the field. All managed to fail the tender system because they didn't meet the requirements. That to me is just a bit weird.
Usually you pick one out of all of them. So, it's a bit fishy, to say the least.
Or you'd at least tell them that it didn't meet the requirements and sort of help them out to make the requirements. Or they simply made them requirements so that they didn't want to privatise it out. And then you think, well, why don't they want to privatise it out? Why don't they want to make it a private thing? And like I said, there's definitely brown envelopes going around in this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But there's just no accountability for anyone that does the shit in government over here. It's really annoying. No one gets the blame for it. With the prom as well, the prom, literally Tim Baker went on Manx Radio he was adamant it was done by the end of August. Now it's the end of September. Everyone knew it was going to be, it wasn't going to be in August. Mm. Everyone knew it. And yet he still insisted it was going to be done in August. And they were like, is it? Is it really? It doesn't look like it's going to be done in August.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, half the people aren't even experts. Even just looking at the prom, you know it wasn't going to be done by the end of August. Yeah. And then he comes out and he just sounds like a twat. Like, just tell the truth. It's not going to be. And now they're blaming the subcontractors. Oh, the subcontractors have moved on to more profitable work. So they aren't working on, so there's a shortage. And it's like, these subcontractors have moved on to other government jobs. Stop starting other projects. They got Pulley Bridge started. They got Richmond Hill started now. They got doing the bus stops, which is a bit weird. But actually, yeah. I can see the point now, actually, being drunk and getting a bus. Makes perfect sense. They raise the curb up so that the bus doesn't have to lower itself anymore. Right. So the so the buses still can lower themselves. They still paid for that on the buses, but they don't need to use that anymore. It's the meant to speed things up, which is, it's probably cost about $5,000 per bus stop to do this. To raise the curb. wouldn't actually surprise me, but. It actually does make sense, to be fair. It's actually quite nice to just walk straight onto the pavement, without having to do a dip or a step. But there's loads and loads of projects, but they're all government-run projects, that these subcontractors are doing. They wouldn't move on to better-paid stuff if you didn't put these fucking jobs in place in the first place. Just hold off and go, right, finish the prom. We won't start any more work until after that.
I think that the government must be mandated to spend a certain amount of money on these projects every year. Because you see roads that are done, they keep getting redone on the Isle of Man. And I just think that they've got a pot of money to spend. They just have to spend.
Yeah, no, I actually know this one because I actually spoke to a guy who works in it. Who was part of budgeting.
Right.
And basically, they skimp. They try and budget all year round. And say they get to the last 3 months before the budget renewal.
Yeah.
And shit, we haven't spent 2 million. Then they go, fuck, quickly, we need to get something started and it needs to be something easy and fast that we can spend that money on. Half the time it's roads that's already been done, easy roads like on the TT course or Richmond Hill or just a nice straight road.
Yeah, yeah.
Just grind it and re-lacquer it and repaint it and all that lot. And then they just fucking, right, go out and do that instead of actually looking at what he's doing. And he says, you have to do that because if you come 2 mil in on the next year's budget will be less. So you'd lose the 2 mil this year and then you'd lose an extra 2 mil next year. And it's apparently much harder to beg for more money than it is just to have a surplus of more money and spend it.
Same as teaching, when classrooms get a certain allocated budget for, chairs and tables and stuff, they just have to overspend and then stock a supply cupboard full of all this equipment they're not using because they don't want to lose that budget. It's a silly system, but that's the way how the civil service at all levels works, with this allocated budget thing.
I don't think there's I think we've caught into a trap here and now we're spending needless money. But I think it shouldn't be so hard to get money if it's needed. The whole system, it should be budgeted, and if they don't spend that 2 mil, that's okay, they don't spend that 2 mil. But maybe central government or whatever should then go, right, well, if they haven't spent this 2 mil now, they might need that in an emergency, so we'll put that in a fund.
Right.
Instead of just taking it away, put it in a separate fund, and then, I don't know, a flood happens in Laxey again or whatever, and they need to spend X amount of money, they've got to, like, and then they can also take praise and say, yeah, this was the money saved from such and such a year that we didn't spend it, like, but still keep the budget the same, just don't cut it the 2 mil as well. But like I said, it is a weird system, like.
Yeah, it's a very strange system.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's all the old boys that are still in management, and they're still going to be in management until they retire. Like, you know,
yeah.
So they're not going to change their ways. Like, you know, they'll have been in the job for 10 years, 10, 15 years, still got 10, 15 years to go, and will be determined to fucking see it through to the end and get their golden paycheck. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, it's one of those where I prefer kind of looking at the private system, you know, small businesses and people just starting out and looking to make a bit of change, not having to rely on the government, because the government's just full of inefficiencies and full of broken systems. On that note, actually, so I had a bit of a breakthrough last week on last Monday. So as well as losing my sense of taste, I finished the first of my tech projects, actually. So I wanted to build a algorithm that can trade cryptocurrency and make a profit.
Yeah, so it's working.
It is working. So I got it working. There's a few problems in deployment, but it works really nicely. It works with the Binance API or application programming interface, where what it does is it logs into my account for me. It looks at what assets I've got, it sells it, and then looks at what the best assets are to buy, buys it, and then holds it for a week. And I need to tweak it a bit, but so far it's done okay. I mean, it's not lost money. It's made like around 5%. But that's because, which in a week's all right, it's good. But that's because some coins have made 20% and some coins have lost me money. And that's because whenever the coins have been profitable, I should have, you know, programmed it to sell at any profit. So, you know, avoid losing money on a coin. So that'll be my next step with it. But the main thing is I've got an algorithm working. It's something that I don't have to go into Binance and just press the trade button. It looks at my assets and just does it all for me.
Wow.
And picks the right coins to invest in as well.
That is brilliant. That is genius.
So it's really good. It's really good. And it's picked some winners. It's picked some ones that I knew weren't going to be winners, but it's like it wasn't going to be a home run upon, you know, first doing it. But it's like babies for like one weekend's worth of work. It's really good steps in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Is it like, will do you have to keep tweaking it, or will it learn itself, or?
So there are certain things I want to tweak it with that it won't learn itself. So learning when to sell it. So I need to teach it, you know, when's a good time to sell it. And what I'm going to do is, because it can be done programmatically, what I'd love to be able to do is, once you hit like a certain amount of profit with a coin, so if a coin goes up 10%, then execute a sell order if it ever goes below 10%. So you add that kind of floor of 10%, so it can never drop below that floor. And then that way, if it keeps going up, you have at least 10%. And if it goes down, it catches it at 10%. Then it goes up to 20%, and then you have the kind of floor at 20%. So then you keep building up and up and up, and you don't lose money. But then if for whatever reason the coin, because sometimes they go up and then down, so if it spikes up, you catch it during the spike, and then if it goes down, you quickly sell it before it does that. Yeah, so that's what I want to figure out next, because if I can figure out how to do that, then that means none of the coins can lose money. And if you have like a 1 in 5 coin success rate, it doesn't matter. You can just hit profit from that coin all the way up to the top.
Wow.
So the plan is, so I want it to be making 10% a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you run an algorithm at 10% a week and just chuck some money in, it will take a £1,000 investment.
Yeah.
And if you leave it in for a year and it does it successfully every week, it turns out £1,000 into 140 grand.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's from a year.
1 year.
Wow. So in theory, if you kept it going, you'd be a millionaire in 5 years.
even less, because if I get it working, I'll just chuck 10 grand into it and I just need to wait 1 year.
Yeah, true.
So I think by the end of the year, because what I'm going to do is if I try to do it all in one go, I'll just stress myself out and make some stupid mistakes. But if I keep plugging away at it, you know, I've got an evening with some free time, just add a bit more to it and add a bit more to it and make it a bit better. Then by the end of the year, because it's still working and making me money now. So it's like if by the end of the year, I should have something that's looking pretty incredible. And then once I'm really happy with it and it's done, because what I want to also do is track performance, like see kind of where did it do well, where did it not do well, when was the optimal time to sell a coin and when wasn't it? And I don't have that data at the moment, but I want to program that into it so it can show me like kind of a page that I can just then just show to myself and anyone else who wants to see it. And then everyone can be like, oh yeah, so like actually if you'd have shortened it from 1 week down to 3 days holding period, that's actually when it's best. But I don't know when that time is and that research doesn't exist yet. So that'd be kind of the research that this will accomplish. Once that's all out there, then yeah, just chuck some money in, hopefully at the end of the year, and ride it all the way to the top.
That is crazy. Like if it works, it's gonna be genius. Like you're gonna be laughing. Like,
I know. Yeah. Well, there are other people who are laughing from it. So there's a company called Alameda Research. I think that's what they're called. And if you're looking at a list of top 10 billionaires under 30, 8 out of 10 of them were given handouts by mummy and daddy, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
1 out of 10 of them.
Oh, wish I had a wish.
Yeah. You and me both. You and me both. Although I bet that, you know, I'm already kind of screwed up as a privileged person myself with mental health and stuff. If I had far more money, I'd be way more screwed up than I am now. So take what.
Yeah, you know. You've got money and money makes it all better.
Yeah, I'll just buy the most expensive therapist in the world, so that'd be fine. But what was I saying? So yeah, 8 out of 10 of them were given money by mummy and daddy. 1 out of 10 of them invented or created a company to do with LiDAR technology. So that's, you know, improving self-driving cars. So he sold that technology to companies like Toyota, Chevrolet, Ford, so then they can get self-driving cars. So naturally he made a billion off that. It's so that all these other car companies can keep up with Tesla and Elon Musk. So that is a legitimate company to make a billion. And he did that when he was 25. And then the last guy did exactly what I'm doing. He built some algorithms, and in 4 years, guess how much money he took out of the company?
How much?
Take a guess.
100 million.
Higher.
A billion?
Higher. In 4 years.
In 4 years. 2.5 billion.
Higher.
Higher, even more?
Higher.
How the fuck's he taking that much money out? 5.
Higher.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me.
6.9 billion. In 4 years.
Wow.
And that was just from exactly doing this. You know, he just algorithmically traded cryptocurrency. So there are people who are doing it successfully and making an absolute killing from it. So it's very much possible. And that's what's given me confidence to get stuck in. And I think that if I can get it working to a really strong degree, well, then that'll be money problems sorted.
Yeah, yeah. But would you sell that technology on or just keep it for yourself?
So I think there's a way to do it that's smart. So you can rent out the algorithm. And to be honest, it's a really simple algorithm. So I could do that and I might do that. But I think what I probably will do is that I've heard of stories of these chat rooms, these trading chat rooms. Because the problem with renting out an algorithm is you need to be licensed to manage people's money. I don't want to go through the whole process with the Financial Conduct Authority.
Right. So say that I wanted to do what you're doing and just borrow your thing, I couldn't do that.
No, I don't know kind of the regulation around that, so I'd want to be careful with that. But I know something that is possible, and that is if I create a private chat room where it's invite only, and in that chat room you can see all the coins that I'm trading at any time, and I will send you emails telling you when I buy and sell them.
Right.
And I just say in every email, this is not investment advice. This is just what my algorithm's doing for informational purposes. And then you pay a monthly membership fee to look at kind of what trades are being made. So
right.
Currently these stock, this exists for stocks and stuff. And people are paying £200 a month to get into these chat rooms.
Wow.
£150, £200 a month. So you can imagine, so if I drop that down to £100 a month, if you have 1,000 people signed up for that chat room, you're making 100K per month just from the chat room.
Shit.
Yeah. So I think that's my plan. And then you don't need to worry about getting authorized to manage people's money, because you're just saying, hey, you're just paying to kind of, for educational purposes, just seeing what I'm trading and why I come to that decision. This is not investment advice. You shouldn't follow any of these trades because you could risk losing your own money. So this is not investment advice.
Yeah.
And
I think I have come across a lot of things, and then right at the end, it's like, this is not investment advice. And I was just like, Like, but I guess now it makes sense now. They're covering their own back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the route forward if this goes well, because, obviously I want it to do well enough that I don't want to be one of those sites that scams people out of their money by showing a chat room full of just trades that kind of suck. So I'd want the algorithm to do pretty well, but it's early days. It seems like it's doing pretty good. And it's like, for a weekend's worth of work, the fact it can buy and sell coins and pick the right coins to buy and sell, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, that's right. Mental. Yeah. Oh, just think, what car are you gonna buy when you're doing it?
I don't think cars are the first thing I'll buy, but I don't know. What's the first thing I'll do? Strangely enough, with any investment success, my target number is 400 grand, because I'm thinking I could survive pretty well off 20 grand a year. So if I stick 400K into like this S&P stock market index, and then you can roughly take out, it used to be 4%, but it's risen to 5%.
Yeah.
5% of your initial investment based on the S&P going up between 8 and 13% in a year. And then you're also protecting against inflation. So in a bad year, you can take out 5%. I'm like, I could live pretty, I don't like need a lot of things. So I could live quite comfortably off 20K per year after tax.
Yeah.
I don't need like big cars or big houses or anything. I lived in a big house my entire childhood. And the problem with a big house is that you need to decorate it, you need to clean it. And then, insulation sucks. Heating it up costs a lot of money. Plumbing is always a variable. So I'm just like, I'm so over having big houses that I'm happy just having a really small, room and stuff. So 400K is my magic number. So I don't know why I do pass that 400K number, but until then, the idea is just to save that wad and then put it into the stock S&P index.
Yeah. But you could probably keep going, couldn't you? And just keep...
Yeah.
Just keep turning that money around.
Fingers crossed, but we'll have to see. But it's exciting times. So first one's there, and then I'm working on another one at the moment, which is kind of, it's a recommender for SaaS products. So if you're looking to build your business, but you don't want to hire employees, or you can't afford to hire employees, but there are now kind of services that can do it for you. So for example, we were talking before about e-commerce, buying and selling products online. Say, for example, you didn't want to go through the process of talking to manufacturers. You didn't want to have to build relationships and talk to them. You could just get given one, but you don't want to hire someone to find one for you. It's like, what SaaS company can do that for
my
you?
My old man's here at the door.
All right, what? should we call time?
Yeah, because he's just turned up on it. Unexpectedly.
All right, no worries. It's all good. We
turned up
to next week
with his fucking weirdo mate. How long has that actually gone on for?
We've actually reached the hour, I think.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
So let's do it. Let's call it there. For any listeners, feel free to add us on Instagram at PureTosh and hit us up on email at puretosh.podcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Cheers, Jay.
See you later.